This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, broadcasting once again from the Rudy Luther Toyota Studios basement in my house. Matt, Patrick here today. How are you today, Patrick, on the spookiest show of the year? It is the last show before Halloween.
It's a really nice day outside. It's a good day to wrap up the week.
Very nice. We are in the Halloween spirit. Greg Bakken is going to join us a little bit later on to talk about spooky stuff. And he is out, where is he? He's in Danbury, Connecticut. No, not a prison term. No, apparently he chose to go there. That's apparently where Ed, Lorraine, Warren were located at, and that's where they got the Annabelle doll. Yee, creepy. And that's just kind of how Greg rolls. He's going to be joining us, as well as also One, if you've listened to his show on a regular basis, you know who she is, psychic medium, tarot card reader. Pastor One has a lifetime of intuitive experience. She has done many different things. She's down in Arizona. And by the way, accepted the head position of head pastor at Church of Tomorrow in Tucson, Arizona. Very cool. Joining us as well. That's going to be the entire 5 o'clock hour. It's all spookerific today on the Matt McNeil Show. And I guarantee you I will not sacrifice my pride or integrity by throwing in every cheesy Halloween pun I can. I've noticed my spooky sounds like a doo-wop band from the 60s. Ooh, you know, it's not really scary, more kind of missing a harmonic beat. It's like I'm, you know, one tenor short of a barbershop quartet there. A lot to get to today. You are more than welcome to call you, because even though, yes, indeed, I am in my own house, in my basement, not wearing pants. Happy Halloween, kids. Even though I'm in kind of Friday casual mode, we are still, of course, doing a regular radio show. You can call us. I can see the phone calls. I can see all that good stuff here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Patrick, I do have to start everyone off with a little task I have before we get to Bakken's little segment we're going to do with him, and a little segment in the entire 5 o'clock hour, I should say, with him. And that is, if you have the ability to go up on social media, either the Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show Facebook page, or if you have chance to go over to the Twitter account, which is at Matt McNeil Show on Twitter. It's a happy place. What you'll find there is a photo. I put two photos out there, and this is my latest spooky photo conspiracy thingamajiggy I have out there. It probably is nothing. I am one of these people that's fairly quick to say it's nothing, but at the same time, it seems kind of weird. So, now, Patrick, I don't know if you've seen the photos.
I'm looking at them right now, actually.
Oh, you're looking at photos of me right now? Jesus, that's man, creepy. All right, well, whatever. If you look at the photos, now, what it was is it was just a lovely night. I was at the radio station. As a matter of fact, the same subject is in both pictures. You can see the three radio towers of AM 950 right off the Palatial Broadcasting Complex over at Valley View Road and Highway 212. And you can see the three radio towers. I was just taking a picture there. Nice little picture. And you can see in the first one. Now, I took two pictures. These pictures were taken 10 seconds apart from each other. All right? Just 10 seconds apart from each other. There was, as you can see, one was taken with the camera being held upright. The other one was the camera was taken sideways. Like I said, minimal difference. So, you know, really looking at a fairly, you know, short period of time. I took both photos just to take them. And I wanted to take pictures just to the radio station. That's the towers. It seemed like a nice little shot. You see some geese there on the water and there. But when you notice, if you compare the two pictures, there is a very odd thing. Now, I'll do my best to describe this for you. On Valley View Road, down from the radio station, There is no sidewalk on our side of the road. There's a sidewalk on what would be, I guess, the south side of Valley View Road at that point. And you can use that sidewalk, but there isn't one. So I'm literally walking through grass. There are no pedestrians walking down this side of the road. There's no dogs. There's no riled up Canadian geese or anything like this. It's just me, a fool, walking down through the grass towards this little holding pond that's right between our office and the old Super Value, which is now UNFI, UNFI. UNFI! They're European, so you have to say it like that. UNFI! But between the UNFI headquarters and AM950, this is this little holding pond that's there. So there is nothing there. There's no signs. A car would show up as a reflection of a car. A truck would show up as a reflection of a truck, okay? As you can see my reflection fairly clearly in the first photo. It's me taking the picture. Studlicious right there. That's all that is. But in the second picture, there's a very weird thing. There's a second shadow, which I have no idea what that shadow is. Once again, no one else was out there with me. It wasn't like I was carrying a backpack or anything like that. It was just me and the camera. It's there, but there is a definitive, a definitive shadow. And if it was a sign, that sign would be, there'd be a shadow in the other picture, and it's not. And it wasn't a car, and it wasn't a guy on a bicycle, anything like that. None of that stuff was there. But there is that shadow right there. Now, Patrick, you have seen the photos yourself there. And once again, if you would like to see these two photos, compare them, we'll talk to Greg about them, get his take on them. You can go to the Twitter page is at Matt McNeil Show. And on the Facebook page, it's Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. You can find them both there. Patrick, as you see there, what is your think? Am I haunted by a demon creature?
Yes, but that's just your shadow.
Well, it's I mean, I'm in radio, for goodness sakes. I've done a deal with someone at this point. Okay, so you think that that's not, there's nothing there, that somehow is my same shadow, which I think you think I'm much more talented than I am, and, well, endowed, I guess. I don't quite know this. Hey, ladies, hello there. That's a separate shadow, dude. That's not me there, and if it was the same thing, why is it not there in the other photo?
Oh, it is a really good question, and I can't really think of anything either that could be. That is definitely strange.
There is no appendages on my body that is. I'm just going to say it right now. Hey, I'd love to take credit for it, but no, that's not it. It's not the great new ventriloquism act you've all been hoping for. No, that's not it. But there is no sign there. And like I said, I mean, why wouldn't the shadow show up on the other picture? The picture is taken quite literally from the same exact spot. There is no human beings. There's no dog. There's no goose. There's no cyclist. There's nothing behind me that would cast that shadow. And as you look at the other shadow, the thing which is interesting, you look at the shadow of me, it looks like me holding a camera trying to take a picture, right? Would you agree with that, Patrick?
I would definitely agree with that.
So why is this thing so anonymous? It doesn't... I think I know what it is. I've discovered my second ghost. Well, no, the first one was really kind of a dud. That was a reflection off the highway. But I'm going to see if we have the listeners, the fantastic listeners, stand up like they did last time I had one of these photos and actually do like a crime scene, reconstruction to show me that it's something else. But for the life of me, I have no idea what that shadow is. And it wasn't there in the other photo. That's the thing which is crazy, is it's just not there in the other photo, and there wasn't anything else out there. So we'll have to see. I mean, are you noticing, is the station haunted as well right now? Is there any creepy stuff at the station that we should know about, Patrick?
Yeah, sometimes some weird stuff does seem to happen around here. It doesn't seem like it's happened in a few months, but sometimes we get overnight power surges, and... Yeah. It was one morning I came down, it was a Saturday morning, and all the buttons corresponding to running a show were turned on, like the microphones, the phone line, the stuff that you would need to run a show were the ones that happened to be turned on. I'm like, that is really weird.
Oh, God, don't tell me we're haunted by a ghost who wants to do their own podcast. Oh, for God's sake, talk about haunting. Oh, forget it. No! If there is a spirit at the radio station that wants to basically take us over and do your hipster podcast so you can talk about something that you think is really important, but you really got nothing to share, stop it. Stop it. Bad ghost. Bad ghost. As far as the weirdness, I'm going to go with producer Brian. I mean, God, he was... When Brian was at the station, he was a weirdo. He's been gone. Sorry, Brian. I had to do that. Brian's a good friend. I still talk to him on a regular basis. If you're a longtime listener of my show, may God have mercy on your soul. And of course, you will remember Brian. He was a fantastic producer. No jokes. No meanness intended. So, well, we'll have to find out if I am. My soul is damned. Coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, that's called a stinger, kind of a preview, kind of. Keep everyone listening here to see if, is the radio host damned? Well, I think we all, if you're listening to this show, I think that answer is pretty obvious at this point. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So a quick point here about a story that kind of manifested while I was off on the few days. So once again, thank you to Todd Mickelson and to Brett for filling in. Guys, thank you. I appreciate it. That hip replacement surgery needed to happen. I'm very grateful that it did. And, you know, it's nice having hosts like yourselves that come in that, frankly, do a great job. You know, I want you guys, I'm glad that these guys do great shows. And a lot of people are grateful that when we get them on the air, I'm very grateful they fill in. Trust me, I couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. So thank you very much to both Todd and Brett for filling in for me. But as I was off, one of the stories that broke was the fact that, of course, there was this bonus money for frontline workers that was supposed to be distributed that the Republicans were only trying to give it to a handful of people. And at the same time, and the Democrats wanted to give it to a much larger group of people because, once again, this is money to compensate people for the pandemic, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. When there was a lot of questions and fear and anxiety, and we needed to get people back to work, and there are a lot of people. And once again, trust me, I am going to be one of the biggest cheerleaders of nurses and doctors for the rest of my life. They are freaking brilliant, and to have to do all this in the face of lunatic fringe rightos screaming in their face about how it's, you need to give me my horse dewormer. You guys are absolute saints. You are absolute saints. And I believe you guys all deserve as well, you know, bonuses. I remember a lot of people, including a lot of Republicans, talking about grocery store workers and how they need to get back to work. And of course, they were the first ones to put down there. It's like, we appreciate you, frontline workers. They made a sign for them. How nice. A lot of them made a sign for them. That was very nice. Very, very cordial, very topical for the time. But it was, once again, you know, not nearly enough. I mean, these people don't get paid a lot. Generally, the grocery store workers don't. And so to give Minnesota grocery store workers who came in during that pandemic and got people, allowed people to get in there and get food, when we were all scared to death and we're in there stocking shelves when stores were being run over, they deserve it. How about daycare providers? For goodness sakes, daycare providers. There are a lot of people out there, and you know, I've had kids. Trust me, there is no greater threat to a spreadable disease in young children. My God, you know, you get around a lot of young kids, you're going to get sick just because there's a lot there. And so there is that, obviously, that fear and that concern that people are having about, you know, do I open my daycare again? And they did wanted to get, especially doctors and nurses and firefighters, police officers, needed to get people into the office. And so that meant sometimes people needed to watch their kid. And they did. Janitors. Keeping the buildings that had to be open clean. For goodness sakes, of course. The meat processing industry, for goodness sakes, how poorly were those people treated? Yet we gotta have our bacon. We gotta have our burgers. Yet they went in. knowing the dangers, don't they deserve something? Of course they do. And that has been my whole point, is that the Republicans are they're only wanting to give this to the certain people that they think deserve it. And what that means is generally certain people making a certain dollar amount. Their plans, their whole thing is that if you're working in a daycare provider, if you're working as a, if you're working on the meat processing line, or if you're working in a grocery store, that you are not worth a bonus. That you basically are beneath any kind of recognition outside of the sign they made for you a few years back, a year and a half back, and that's all you get. We appreciated you, but stop acting like you deserve something. And I even actually, after I brought the point of this, is just, you know, is there any larger sign that the Republicans just basically saying screw you to a vast majority of the workers of this state, including the daycare providers who the Republicans had for years been working at trying to cultivate as part of their kind of, you know, partisan base. But they basically, you know, the heck with them. Teachers. How about teachers as well? Should throw those in there as well. A lot of teachers coming in and helping out when they had to. But the Republicans, no, they don't think that these people deserve anything. And as a matter of fact, I took a, after I made this point on social media a few days ago, I had a conservative get back in touch with me, and their pretty much their direct quote was, so they put some Hot Pockets on a shelf, Matt. You think that that is worthy of someone getting a reward? Now, first of all, the arrogance of an ass like that making a comment. That is just such a conservative mindset. All they're doing is putting some Hot Pockets on the freezer, Matt. You think that they deserve a bonus for that? Let's go back in time, you close-minded little troglodyte. You basically walked into a grocery store. Do you remember that time when you walked in and all of a sudden they had Hot Pockets again? We had about a two-month stretch where they didn't have those because they were all bought out. And I saw your conservative whiny butt crying as you clutched a box of Hot Pockets. I get to have some level of normalcy again. Thanks, grocery store workers. I remember that. I remember that. I remember people overjoyed that products that they used were usually getting were all of a sudden back in stock. And thanks to the grocery store workers, they were able to get them. You want to dismiss this and demean it in this way today because you just don't feel as if it's these people are worth your recognition. The reality is those people went out and sacrificed a ton for you. Your demand. So it's pretty pathetic that now all of a sudden you're saying, well, they didn't do really that much. No, they just got you your Hot Pocket, you whiny little conservative jackass. So shut up and give them their bonus. God, you pathetic people. You're just always in it for yourselves or the least amount of people you can possibly help. You are really worthless human beings and horrible Christians. Horrible Christians, if I may add myself. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Take some phone calls. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. No, they want to forget that. The conservatives don't want you to forget that how happy you were. And, I mean, I've got quite a few friends who are conservatives. And I go back in their timelines every once in a while. I look at what they're saying. And you can find all their, thank God they had blank back in stock at the store. Thank God toilet paper was a lot of it. I was able to get this. I was able to get this before my kid's birthday. It's their favorite dinner. It's their favorite meal. They said that over and over and over again. But now here it is a year later, and they're like, oh, you want to give those low-income people a bonus. You're just trying to give them a handout. It's like, no. I want to say thank you to these people for in the line of danger and in fire, they went out there and they worked in a grocery store. A job that, let's be honest, most of you would have never done. Not because of the wages, but because of the potential of contamination with coronavirus in those early days. And they went out there and they worked their butts off and they deserve those bonuses. Especially, like I said, grocery store workers, teachers, daycare providers, janitors, meat processing plant. I mean, gosh, as a matter of fact, I got a story here coming up in the coronavirus update about the sacrifices that people were making just so you could have your freaking bacon cheeseburger, cheeseburger. So stop with this acting as if all they do is go out there and put Hot Pockets on the shelf. Yeah. Like I said, I remember the time when Hot Pockets for you, when they're finally back in stock, were all of a sudden, Assign Jesus loves me. Just stop with your hatred, because no one's buying this crap anymore. Speaking of which, the Minnesota coronavirus update, Friday's COVID update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 3,348 new cases and 16 newly reported deaths, all the fatal cases happening in October. The state's total death now count is at 8,669. As of October 27th, the state reported that 3,466,097 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,300,397 people have completed the vaccine series. They've also administered 374,093rd dose booster shots. Apparently, Aaron Rupar was able to get one. So congratulations, Aaron. Glad to see that. Roops with the Scoops occasionally stops on by. Through October 28th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 915, down from 923 reported on Thursday. Of those hospitalized, 212 people in intensive care, 703 are in general hospital care. Hospital capacity remains tight in parts of Minnesota, especially in the metro area. The 3,348 positive results on Friday's update were from 40,451 completed tests. Positivity rate of 8.27. Once again, World Health Organization says you should have 2 weeks of 5% or lower to keep the economy open. We're not doing that. We're not doing that because Republicans are more than willing to sacrifice your health and life for their narrative. And that's just scary as heck. It's been interesting to watch how the Republicans right now, because Florida's numbers are coming down. And the reason their numbers are coming down is they didn't really have anywhere else to go. They were so bad. But what you're getting now is conservatives who are going and doing the most cherry picking of statistics to try to say, see, Florida didn't have mask mandate or vaccine mandate, and they were so much better than these other states. No, there isn't a metric that you can find that's legitimate that doesn't show that the worst state in the country for the coronavirus has been Florida. Florida has been a freaking mess. And just because you got to a point where you've literally killed off as many people as you possibly can doesn't mean you deserve a gold star for excellence in any capacity. When we talk about sacrifice, a lot of people talk about, get those teachers back in school. Don't want to. And now when we get to this story, they don't want to say a damn thing. They don't. Minnesota Department of Health reported more. They'd have the two more school employees from COVID-19. Thursday, they released the latest COVID-19 data in school settings in the reported period of October 23rd. It revealed the total number of school staff members who have died from the virus since August 1st now totals 15. These latest two deaths mean the total number of COVID deaths among school employees has risen to 7 just since the start of the new school year. Just since the beginning of the new school year. It's not even October. It's been 2 months. Not even the end of October, I should say. The weekly report also revealed a further 2,033 COVID cases among pre-K-12 students in the week ending October 23rd, though this is represented by a reduction compared to the 2,215 new cases reported among students the week ending October 16th. And the 245 the week earlier. So we are starting to see a little bit of a downturn. A lot of that, and we talked about this as things started to slow down. Well, a lot of schools that initially said, we're not going to have masks, all of a sudden saying, holy God, we better have masks. I'll get to the schools here in a second. I'll get to them in a second because there's some schools and some districts that need to be called out. And, of course, we need to understand the pattern that's going on here. Going back to this story, the drop in cases mirrors what has happened in the state level during the week of October 17th to 23rd when Minnesota experienced a fall from its recent COVID case heights that had been driven by the Delta variant. But cases have ticked up again slightly so far this week, so it remains to be seen if this week's dip will continue. The latest update shows that 5 more students were hospitalized with COVID-19 between October 17th and 23rd, but none needed to go to the ICU, and there are no more deaths. And once again, yeah, and there are people who are vaccinated or getting sick, but they're not getting nearly as sick, and there's not nearly as many dead people with as there are with the unvaccinated. So, and as we pointed yesterday, there are still a lot of stupid places in this state where there you will vacuum me over my dead body. And sadly enough, that's actually the bet you're taking. And we already know what's coming, don't we? All do. We all know that when this all goes past, they're either going to be trying to, hey, didn't we do great together? Didn't we? We did great together. We worked together and we beat this. Or they're going to be like, see, all you people, all it took, you went out there and you had to take, you talked about masks and vaccinations and all these things that you had to do, and it wasn't that big of a deal. Sure, 8,600 some people died. Sure. And sure, a lot of people are sick and bankrupt now. Sure. But you see, I was right because I never got vaccinated and I didn't die. You're going to get that because it's the age of stupids. That's what it is. Donald Trump ushered in the age of idiots, and they don't have any sign of pumping the brakes, do they? Not at all. I'll come back and let's talk about some of the school districts that are having a little bit more of a problem with COVID than other school districts. And shocker, there's a trend. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. The Minnesota Department of Health has put out some more information here about schools. And once again, what has been the trend that we have noticed? Well, 55.5% of the state's population lives in the 7-county metro area. All right. Not a big surprise. I mean, there's a lot of states that are like this. You have a large metro area. That's where most of the people live. Which means 44.5% of the state's population lives outside of the 7-county metro area. Which means any number that doesn't match up, I mean, an equal number would be, say, 55.5% of all people who get, say, the flu live in the 7-county metro area, and 44.5% of the people that get the flu live outside of it. That would be equal numbers. Those would just be representative numbers that represent, you know, the number of people that live in each area. So if you have a situation like we've had where the number of hospitalizations, the number of deaths, the number of sick people in outstate Minnesota with 44.5% of the population is in the 60, 65, near 70% ratios, it tells you that things are truly going horribly in those areas. I mean, that's just math. I mean, you can't, if you only have 44.5% of the state's population and you basically have got 70% of the state's problems in a certain issue, specifically with coronavirus, well, you're the problem. And you can, and once again, this is a narrative that's been pushed forward by Republicans because the idea is, well, if they want you, they don't care if you get sick and die or go bankrupt or have a lifetime of health problems for their narrative. Well, here is yet another statistic that shows the problem here is in the Twin Cities metro area. And once again, if you factor in all causes of death, all causes of danger in our society, as much as Republicans want to go out there and point towards the inner city and say, it's so dangerous in Minneapolis. Dude, it is far more dangerous. When you factor in COVID, holy cow, it's not even close. It is far more dangerous right now in rural Minnesota than it is in Minneapolis. And once again, that's not a fair thing. I mean, there are some counties that are doing well. Pipestone County, Coochigan County, Cook County, they're doing better than other counties. But there's a lot of places, especially you go up that 94 corridor, you head up towards Brainerd. Holy God, there! I would not go there because the chances of you dying are far greater, from all causes, are far greater in those areas than just in Minneapolis. As much as these people want to sit there and say, gun violence, black people are bad, because that's exactly what these Republicans want to scream. That's what Republicans want to scream. The reality is you are by far safer in the cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul right now than you are in outstate Minnesota. And that's just a reality. But it doesn't stop the media in this town reporting, you know, sensationalizing everything, does it? Nope, not at all. Here is the story on the schools. Based on the data released by the Minnesota Department of Health on Thursday, the largest COVID-19 outbreak reported by a school district this year was a six-week burst in the Sauk Rapids Rice Middle School. I can just see the parents go, I don't care if every kid in this school is sick. Never are we going to wear a mask. You can see it. I can see it. Is the school mascot the Karens? I mean, just seriously. According to the data, the middle school located at 901 First Street South in Sauk Rapids reported 20 to 29 infections September 5th to the 18th, followed by 60 to 69 more infections September 19th through the 2nd. The school then reported a further 10 to 19 cases October 3rd to the 16th, a total range specifically of 90 to 117 cases. Wow. And one of the things that should be noted here is they had a really bad infection rate. When your one school has 20 to 29 infections, you'd say to yourself, well, my God, well, we better lock this down. The next reporting, hold my beer. They double it, 60 to 69. Wow, that's more than double, triple in some cases. The second largest outbreak based on data provided by health department looking at New Prague Middle School. Between September 5th, October 2nd, the school reported between 60 and 78 cases. They only provide the ranges during that four-week stretch. So during that week stretch, there is basically a decent chance you had 15 kids per week. Well, at least 15 kids per week were getting sick in that school district, at least. Based on the two-week increments, here are the schools that reported the most cases. Sauk Rapids Rice Middle School, 60 to 69 cases during a two-week period. 40 to 49 cases in a two-week period. That was Forest Lake Area High School and New Prague Middle School. And I can already hear it. Matt, Forest Lake is in the metro. Yeah, and it kind of is. It kind of is. It's not exactly liberal. It does not surprise me that one of the more conservative parts of the Twin Cities metro area is on this list. And as a matter of fact, there are some other schools we'll run through. You'll see. It's not like you have a school in the cities of St. Paul or Minneapolis showing up here, or a Edina school or a Hopkins school or a Burnsville school. No, you got Forest Lake High. This is exactly what I said. It's a fairly conservative part of the Twin Cities metro area. That fits in with the trend. Trust me. New Prague Middle School, from September 19th to October 2nd. The 30 to 39 case load during the two-week period, Bagley Secondary School, September 19th to the 2nd. Blue Earth Area Secondary School, September 19th to October 2nd. Prairie View Elementary School in Otsego, September 19th to October 2nd. And once again, some people would probably say, oh, that's metro. No, not really. It's Otsego, man. That's actually more conservative than Forest Lake. All right. Sauk Rapids Rice Senior High, September 5th to the 18th. Zimmerman High School, September 19th through the 2nd. The 20 to 29 cases during a two-week period. Albany Area Middle School, Anoka Middle School for the Arts. That's Anoka, once again, one of the more conservative parts of the metro area. And it sounds like Middle School for the Arts sounds like is that a charter school or a private school? Needless to say, it's one of the more kind of, you have to get into that school. That's going to be more conservative than the traditional schools for sure. Avon Elementary, Bagley Elementary, Becker Senior High School, Cambridge, Asante High School, Centennial Middle School, Cherry Elementary and Iron, Cherry Secondary and Iron, Delano High School, Fairmont High School, Forest View Middle School and Baxter, Kennedy Elementary and Wilmer, Lakeville South High School. Now, that's the one that gives me a little bit of an eyebrow raise, because that's of all these schools here, if I was to say, Lakeville is becoming more moderate. I don't think it's necessarily liberal per se, but it's definitely much more middle of the road. That would be the first one that I'd say falls outside of the narrative that most of these schools are in conservative areas, for sure. And I'm not saying, hey, don't get me wrong, Lakeville South does have some conservative parts, but You know, that's becoming a much more moderate territory. New Prague Middle, New Prague Senior High, New Richland, Heartland, Ellendale, Geneva Secondary, Owatonna Middle School, Parnassus Preparatory School in Maple Grove, a prep school. Trust me, that's conservative. In Maple Grove, sure. Pequot Lake Senior High, Pleasant View Elementary in Sauk Rapids, Providence Academy in Plymouth. Now, okay, Plymouth is definitely a much more moderate and turning towards the more Democratic side, but it's Providence Academy. Trust me when I say that. That's going to be the more conservative. Most of the conservatives in that community are going to be at Providence Academy. Sauk Center Middle School, Sauk Center Secondary, Sauk Rapids Rice Middle School, St. Francis Middle School, St. Michael Albertville Middle School, and Wilmer Senior High. Once again, at Lakeville South is the only school on that list that makes me even raise an eyebrow. The rest of them are all conservatives. And I want to make sure we understand this. I just read off a whole bunch of schools. These are where, in a two-week period, the worst outbreaks of coronavirus happen within these school districts. And pretty much every single stinking one of them, every one of them, is a conservative school district. You don't see, what do you not see on there? I don't see Minneapolis schools. I don't see Duluth schools. I don't see Rochester schools. I don't see St. Paul on that list. I don't see St. Louis Park. I don't see Invergrove Heights. I don't see Hopkins. I don't see these you know, suburbs which are leaning liberal. No, I see a lot of cases where, especially, and you get into these some of these outstate schools. These are smaller schools. They don't have nearly the population that these metro area schools have. And yet they are getting these high case counts, and they're, you know, you're telling me that, let's just pull one up here. Let's go with the Avon Elementary School. Or maybe it's the Cherry Elementary School in Iron. Cherry Elementary School in Iron. How many kids do you think totally go to that school? How many kids total? Do you think it matches any of the elementary schools in the inner city, in the first tier suburbs, second tier suburbs? Of course not. But those schools don't show up on this list. Their school does. So you've got smaller populations getting a far worse result. That's conservatives. That is conservative policy. I can only come on this show every 2 hours and point this stuff out on a regular basis. It has to kind of somewhat sink in. The conservatives are trying to kill you and your kids. I mean, that's really what this is. Their policies are atrocious. Their policies are abysmal. They're definitely not there for the public good. And, you know, here is just the latest bit of proof, that Republican policy is not there to help you. And I'll leave with this one on the coronavirus update for today. And the members of the meatpacking workers infected and killed by coronavirus was much higher than previously known, a congressional review has found. More than 59,000 workers of the country's five largest meatpackers were infected. 59,000. About 270 died, according to a report by the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis that made public on Wednesday. That's about triple the previous estimates. Once again, these companies did not care about their employees, and they clearly did not, you know, tell the truth about how many people were sick and how many people are dying. And we should mention, once again, with all these areas, these are out in rural parts of the country. What about the impact, the ripple effects into those local communities? Because I guarantee you that these, you know, once you look at these numbers, that there's a, you know, that's one of the reasons why these small towns where these meat processing plants were located at were just inundated with this coronavirus. Until now, we have not had a full sense of how hard meatpackers workers were hit, said U.S. Representative Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, the chairman of the subcommittee. Virus outbreaks at packing plants were early drivers of infections in Iowa, including the cities of Columbus Junction, Perry, Storm Lake, Tama, Waterloo, Dakota City, Nebraska, which is believed to be the source of the surging infections across the river in Sioux City in the early months of the coronavirus pandemic. Workers at the plants, which former President Trump deemed critical infrastructure that were required to keep operating, were highly susceptible to infection because they operate close proximity to each other. Previous estimates of how many of the workers were infected and died were tallied by the Food and Environment Reporting Network. The House subcommittee calculated its totals by surveying Tyson Foods, Smithfield Foods, JBS USA, Cargill, and National Beef. Meatpacking companies are too slow to respond to worker demands for safer conditions, While workers fought for greater protections, the large meatpacking conglomerates focused on protecting their profits, which they did. Martin Rosas, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 2, which represents 1.3 million workers in Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, testified that meatpacking plants failed to implement safety measures such as masks, dividers, and social distancing to stop the virus, spread of the virus until unions demanded them, and that some plants dropped those precautions prematurely. These workers were living in fear, Rosas said. They did not know whether these companies were willing to protect them, but they were afraid to miss work because they didn't have sufficient leave benefits. Yeah. And by the way, on a secondary note, you wonder why people have had it with the work, the jobs that are put out there by corporate America anymore. We're not going to pay you very well. We're going to demand you get into unsafe working conditions. And the bare minimum of safety protocols we're going to put into place, we're not even going to keep once we don't have to anymore. And we should remind you, these people were running gambling bets. These corporations, some of them, I can't remember which one it was running a gambling pool on how many of their workers would get sick with coronavirus that day. Just ungodly. Ungodly. But Republicans, once again, don't think those people deserve to have any kind of bonus as a thank you for the sacrifice they made at the beginning of the pandemic. Nope, they don't think they deserve anything at all. That's your Republican Party. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Hour two. Remember, Greg Bakken joining us for a whole full Halloween spectacular. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice in Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know the research I've done on my knowledge of coronavirus? Hey, doc. Doctor I respect. Doctor who's gotten an advanced medical degree. A doctor who continually has to study in the field so that they can stay relevant within the industry. What do you think? I trust you. What do you think? In the same sense, if someone wants me to, if someone comes to me and says, how would I do a good radio broadcast? I probably could help them out a little bit. All right. But, I mean, that's kind of what I do. I also am not an idiot. I look at all the scientists that are out there. And I'm not one of these people that would say to myself, oh, well, the hundreds of thousands, the millions of scientists in the world are all part of some large cabal they finally got their plan to work. No. The CDC, the American Medical Association, the Mayo Clinic, the Journal of American Medicine, The nurses unions, they're nurses. There's a lot of we used to look at people that were actually intelligent and educated in the field, and they said, "Hey, you probably should do this," and say, "Okay, we should." Today, it's like all you people are in it together. Until someone tells me what I want to believe, I'm going to believe you're all lying. No, that's the research I have done, and trust me, doing this radio show every single day, I have to do research. And trust me, I have yet to see anything that backs up the lunatic fringe's claims about, magnetization or we're all that the people that gotten vaccines are not really human beings anymore. I love that one. That was great. We're not? Are we like superpowers? Am I going to be like an Eternal? That'd be cool. No, I have yet to see anything that backs up your claims outside of, screaming howler monkeys that basically feel as if that's the way for them to be able to respond is to just try to drown out everyone else. And I feel sorry. I mean, I really do. I feel sorry for those people. If that's where you're at in your life, that's the only happiness you can find is just to try to out-scream everyone at the end of the day. That's sad. That really is. 952-946-6205. In case you missed it, Joe Biden was at the Vatican. Now, once again, just a little background here. I used to be Catholic. I still, to a point, consider myself Catholic. But after the United States Council of Catholic Bishops came on out and said, oh, that unless you basically start denying people, Democrats, communion, that you're really not pious, you're not Christian. I'm like, okay, No. That's you going down a really bad path. And once again, this is the same Catholic Church that has a laundry list, a parade of baggage trucks that they have with them. For them to come on out there and now all of a sudden start trying to dictate political stances from the pulpit, no. And as a matter of fact, that was the last straw. And as I have actually been out visiting other churches. I've had a very nice time. We've actually been back to the Lutheran church. We went and visited a Lutheran church for a second time. Very good time there. I've been around. It's nice to get on out when I get my hip feeling better. Hopefully I'll be out and visiting more. And we'll make a decision about what my new church is going to be. And that's where we're going to go. Because my relationship with God is a personal one. And it is important to me. So I will have that. But apparently the United States Council of Bishops didn't have a chat with the good old Pope Francis beforehand. He said he came away, the Pontiff told him he was a good Catholic, should keep receiving communion, although conservatives of the United States have called for him to be denied the sacrament because of his support of abortion rights. The world's two most prominent Roman Catholics ran overtime in their discussions on climate change, poverty, and coronavirus pandemic, a warm conversation that also touched on the loss of the president's adult son and included jokes about aging well. Biden said abortion did not come up at the meeting. We just talked about the fact that he was happy. I was a good Catholic, and I should still keep receiving communion. Now, I'll go with Francis on that. That's the Catholic Church I know. I used to know. That's the, you know, you're a good Catholic. Your heart's in the right place. You know, that's what you should get. And that's why I left, is because that's not, it's no, unless that you're doing what Donald Trump tells you to do, unless I am doing what Lauren Boebert or, you know, Madison Chathorn or whatever these guys are. Unless I'm doing what they want to do, that I'm not a good Catholic. No. That's not how this works. It'll be interesting. I've been paying attention to their Twitter feed throughout the day to see what the Catholic Convention, the U.S. Catholic Convention of Bishops, would say. So far, they've been kind of mum. But, yeah, my guess is they're going to try to avoid talking about this at all. Bye. I'll find a different church. That's the way I feel about it. Hour two of the show is up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. It is October 29th, and this means this is our show for Halloween. And I'm not going to get in the way of our local expert in regards to paranormal activity and strange, quirky things, because that would be Greg Bakken. Ghost Box Radio is a fantastic show we have here on AM 950 here on the weekends. You can listen to that. He is kind enough today to join us for this full hour, and joining him as well is Pastor One. Psychic medium, tarot card reader, Pastor One has a lifetime of intuitive experience. She's traveled throughout the Midwest, providing her services at conventions, mediumship galleries, psychic fairs, and weekly Facebook live broadcast. She's been part of many paranormal investigations, some with Greg Bakken, and One recently accepted the position of, and this is too cool, head pastor of the church at Tamara in Tucson, Arizona. Congratulations on that. Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and Greg, I'll get back to you in a sec. Very cool. I'm becoming the head pastor. I've often talked about, you know, my spirituality and my continued path that continues to go on here. That's got to be a huge accomplishment. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, very good. Greg, you went to one of the scariest places on the planet, Danbury, Connecticut. What are you thinking? Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually you are at a specific house with a specific kind of special doll, correct?
Well, we're not there yet. Tomorrow we're going to be at a convention that is put on by the Warrens, the kind of the legacy of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Their daughter and son-in-law Tony put on this convention with their paranormal team, and there we're going to see and meet the real Annabelle doll. But I have to say, Matt, you're gonna have to talk to Anne about whether or not Danbury is the scariest place on earth, because this is where she was born.
I lived in Wickford, Rhode Island, or as they used to say, Wickford. And so all those New England towns, it does not surprise me Stephen King came out of Maine. I mean, you get these coastal towns, there is a, you know, Halloween time around those areas. It's kind of a different experience than you get in the upper Midwest, that's for sure. And of course the colonial, you know, European history is much older than in other parts of the country. Is it one of those places? Is Danbury, Connecticut, is it really one of the more haunted places you can be?
I feel like it is. Growing up here, I mean, there wasn't a place that I lived that wasn't haunted.
Well, in Wickford, that was known as Dad likes his drink. But, I mean, still, I mean, it's like haunted.
And that means St. Anthony, where I grew up, was haunted, too, I guess. So,
well, weren't they all back then? Yes. Well, and is there any specific, I mean, okay, obviously you have with, in regards to the Annabelle doll here in the Warrens, I mean, is there another place there that has been, you know, kind of traditionally, I mean, I know you go up to Boston and you get up to Salem and you go, there are all these houses and witch trials and stuff like this. Is there anything else there that is kind of, is known for its ghostly presence or Halloween activities?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, not too terribly far. It was going to be the Amityville Horror House.
Yeah.
There's been three Conjuring films, and two of them have had instances that take place in the New England area, one in Danbury here.
Yeah, where we're actually the relatives.
Yeah, that's where we're at now, is the house of one of the relatives of the basis of the film for Conjuring 3. So, which is, you know, friends of Anais.
Yeah.
We
grew up together.
But that's what Danbury is, though,
yeah,
right?
I mean, it's just something that you just, it's a way of life.
Your Facebook friends, you always know them. Oh, there it is, the goth photo. There you go, Danbury, Connecticut. How you doing? Well, I always remember around, because in Rhode Island, and you do get this, you know, old history that, I've also gotten this in Ireland, in England, in Germany, you know, where these stories, they hold on, even if they're in, and I'm this is not about, you know, dispelling or dismissing, even if there really isn't a ghost story, some guy 300 years ago starts a ghost story, and now by its own nature, it's become its own story. You know what I mean? It's just because these things get passed on, I mean, they really can become, create a life of their own and really become kind of, you know, a representation of that area. I mean, like I said, I was growing up in Rhode Island. Gosh, Newport. You go to, you know, Providence, North Kingston, go down to Narragansett. There was always, oh, yeah, that's haunted. Oh, that hotel is haunted. And there was always someone that had a wedding photo or something like that that had a creepy image in it. And I was like, you know, I'm sure that's not your uncle after a few too many. But, you know, there was always kind of like a hand or a you know, there was always some picture. That was just a really common occurrence that happened out there.
Well, and, you know, you look at, like, for the first Conjuring film, you look at the history of the Conjuring house, and the idea in the film they call the witch Bathsheba, and that there's supposed to be all these nasty things that Bathsheba has done. But now, you know, you find a lot of people going through these records, you know, same at, like, Waverly Hills Sanatorium and other places, that what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the right information, the correct information, because before it just got it all got out of hand, but the real information is just there. It was a matter of people taking the time and not just relying on the hearsay for, you know, 100-150 years, but instead actually going and doing the due diligence of research to be able to get us, like, something that's really real. For just you know, like I said, Bathsheba was always told to be, and some people still hold this, like she you know, sacrificed children, she did all these things that were really nasty, but you find out over time doing the research she was nothing like that.
There seems to me to be the great conundrum of not just, you know, ghost hunting shows, Sasquatch hunting shows, stuff like this, but any kind of show, is that if you don't deliver on the concept of the show, that you end up doing more damage to the cause than helping. And what I mean is this. If I watch this old house, right, they're going to build a house, and it's going to be fascinating. They're building a house. Look what they're doing with the foundation. It's great. At the end of the day, you have this house. There is something tangible there. One of the problems I think that's happened with, particularly with cable television, but with some streaming services as well, is that the idea of, oh, great, we're going to now get these people, amateur investigators, going on out, doing the real legwork, doing the real research. We're going to find these things, and great, we're going to have all of this evidence. But the reality is most of these people are not ghost researchers or paranormal people. They're just pretty people that look good on camera that basically, you know, every time that there's a bump, they overreact and act like that. There's your definitive proof. And then they come back, oh, no, it was a squirrel. And I think that one of the problems that is happening is that when it comes to ghost hunting and it goes to the Sasquatch or aliens, is that because there are so many lunatics, and frankly, and I don't mind calling them lunatics that are on these cable shows screaming at the top of their lungs every time it's aliens, ghost, or this, it actually diminishes from the fact that, okay, are they real? Because the reality is you've had 12 seasons of your show, and I have yet to see a damn ghost. And you guys keep claiming there's ghosts. I have yet to see anything there that's really any kind of proof. Talk a little bit about the double-edged sword nature of that.
You want to hear me? So, you know, the thing that people, you know, don't always realize about those shows is that they're for entertainment purposes only, you know, and that's, you know, but, and the double-edged sword, in my opinion, comes from the fact that when I get people coming to my events or when Anae gets people coming to her readings, you know, they expect us to behave the way that they see on the shows. You know, they expect us to walk into an empty room that's dark and scream into the air. And that's not that all shows do that, but, you know, the really popular ones tend to go that route where, and, you know, you have to remind people, this is, you know, like you said earlier, you know, when they're going to do this old house, there's going to be a house that shows up somewhere in the show. So if you're doing something like, you know, a ghost show, they're going to want to see something, whether or not it's someone acting like they're being possessed or acting like that, you know, or you see like a shadow moving or something. And, you know, I do believe the majority of the people on these shows are legitimate, but they also have to kind of deliver some kind of entertainment value to it. You know, that's why they shoot for 2 weeks at a time and makes it look like that it's just done overnight. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you just have to be careful about. And, you know, as Anae had been told before, you know, she's not scary enough for television, you know, and there's something to that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tried, but I'm not scary.
Well,
so,
I mean, but
you know,
they're
looking for something specific.
Yeah, I was going to add on to that. I actually have a friend that was doing it wasn't a ghost show, it wasn't this, but it was kind of a history show where they were trying to, this exact same thing happened to them. And the producers kept coming back and saying, well, we want you to sensationalize this. He goes, no, there's only so much I'm willing to say. There's science. There's science behind what I'm trying to prove here. And if it goes beyond that, I'm not going to just lie for dramatic effect. And they ended up canceling the show. They ended up canceling the show because that you're exactly right. I look at, was it Ghost Hunters? Was the guys that were originally from the Roto-Rooter, right?
Ghost Hunters.
Those original shows were somewhat entertaining because they clearly were going in. The two original guys were going in there to basically discredit everything. And so it made for actually compelling TV when they did find something that they couldn't really explain. But then it's like you could tell the producers got involved with it and all of a sudden became Ghostbuster Kids. And, you know, it was, you know, all the young, the next generation. And there are a bunch of, you know, a bunch of people I wouldn't let in my house, you know, as you said, screaming at the top of their lungs going every time that they see a shadow going, oh, my God. And, of course, that dramatic stinger effect. You know, it really is to a point, it does more damage, I think, to any kind of legitimate argument about what is out there that we don't understand to have, you know, these Jill Boyd and Blowcomb kids going on out there on a daily basis and, you know, trying to basically entertain as opposed to educate.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly it. Everyone wants to, you know, and everyone wants to be those people when they're doing the investigation. And it's really tough to try to remind, because, you know, I mean, I think, and I don't want to speak for Anae, but I mean, I feel like since when the ability to actually communicate with a spirit isn't good enough? You know, why is that not good enough? You know, that to me, that seems amazing. It seems beautiful. But people want, who are making these shows, at least some of these shows, they want to, you know, drive up the shock value, the scare factor for it. And what that does, it makes everyone think that if there is some paranormal activity in your house, the first place they go to is, oh my gosh, that's a demon. I watched Ghost Adventures. That's a demon. I've seen people get possessed because, you know, there's a knock on the door, you know, and that's simply not true.
It does not help the cause out there. And I mean, have you seen that? Have you gone to places, Greg, where in One, have you gone to places and say, hey, I want to investigate this? And you look at it and they're looking at you at the front door and they're like, oh, well, no, we're not going to have you in. We're not going to have some clown car show coming on in here. And you're like, no, that's not us. We're not trying to do that. I mean, have you had that kind of a pushback?
I've had that pushback before, and what happens is some don't want to know anymore. They don't want to go further. But others, what happens is that we walk through our way of doing things. We have videos. We have a web series that we show how we investigate, and that often turns people around. And Matt, I just want to quickly say too, you know, as much as we talk about the bad side of how that could backfire, I also want to say, as much as those shows can annoy me, it certainly gets a lot of people coming up to me when they find out what I do. And I'm sure for Anne also, that they're like, you know, I watch these shows. I'm so fascinated. And then you open up a dialogue to be able to talk about how we like to do it. And what ends up happening is that, you know, more often than not, they're just still super excited and impressed by it.
Wow. And Anne, as you've gone out there with this, is that been your experience too? Is that people want you to, you know, give them kind of a Ghostbusters experience where you're literally pulling someone that they're going to have sit next to them and have a nice long conversation with in a room, as opposed to be able to have, you know, be able to communicate with a past spirit in the way that you do, that the expectation is now more of a big screen movie kind of presentation, not the real world as it happens?
Well, the thing is, yes, that does happen, but I can deliver. And when I do deliver, it's pretty impressive. So because I come up with details that like wow people. So that when I go into a place or I talk with somebody, I don't know anything about them. I barely know their name. I just ask like their first name only, if that at all. When I come in and I get the information, the download of information, I'm feeling, seeing, sensing things. It's pretty impressive and powerful.
And if you're like, you know, most of the people I know that are very credible in this industry, you'll walk into a room and right away know something. You know, it's whether it's, I know some people will see something manifesting itself, or there's just a feeling that it just kind of hits you, doesn't it? It's just that there's that level of power exists within that room.
Yes, because we tap into energy, and when the energy knows that you are there, and that you are there to communicate with them, yes, they do let themselves know. They let us know that they are there and that they're ready to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Has that ever happened to you in like a really weird place, like a Caribou Coffee or something like that? You know, like, whoa, really here? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
It has. Cool.
It was like the Walmart.
Yes.
Really? At a Walmart?
Yeah, some shop. Quietly by myself early in the morning. And so, because I didn't want to have to deal with a lot of crowds.
It's so, Walmart. But yeah. It's a good call.
I was walking by this one woman and she, I got pulled by spirit to communicate with her. And so I did. Oh. And it ended up being quite the accurate information for her.
Wow. And so that was a spirit that was basically attached to that woman. It wasn't like it was someone there in the Walmart.
No, it was attached to the woman. That's how I basically read, for the most part.
Because I didn't go
to the Walmart to look for spirit.
I got to tell you, if you're a spirit and you're stuck in a Walmart, that is a rough go right there. I mean,
yeah.
That is, oh, dear Lord, really? You're putting the caramel corn on special again? Oh, okay, it's not going to sell this time. You know, I can see it's not going to go well. I'll tell you what, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about my experience in the South. I went to the South Carolina this summer, and I did a ghost tour. And it just, okay, Okay, I'll you know, some problems I have with this, and I'll let you guys, you know, give your thoughts on that as well. As also, I posted those pictures. Did you get those pictures, Greg?
I did. Okay. We took a look at them.
We'll take a look at those pictures because there is a creepy shadow in a photo, and I am. Although I'm also a creepy shadow in the same photo, it's a different kind of creepy. We'll talk about that a little bit as well coming up here. Greg Bakken is kind enough to join us, as well as Pastor Anne. Once again, in Danbury, Connecticut, they're going to go hang out with the Annabelle doll. Yeah, no, I'll pass on that one. You guys, I'm glad you're doing it tomorrow because I'm busy. I'll be carving a pumpkin or something. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Matt McNeil's show. Once again, Ghostbox Radio, if you don't know, it is on the air 4 to 5 o'clock on Sundays right here on AM 950. The replay of that Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Make sure you're catching that. You'll have two chances to catch in on this weekend. As a matter of fact, I'm presuming this weekend is a little Halloween heavy for you guys, Greg?
It is. You know, we did put out an interview request for Annabelle, and she has refused. Mm-hmm. So... it's the funny thing is we had grand plans for Halloween, doing a bigger show, a lot of fun stuff. And you know how it goes. It just kind of starts paring away. And then we ended up just spending more time out here and at the convention and stuff. So we figured, you know, we'll catch up. And Anne joins me every third Sunday. So she does one question readings. And we always have if we don't get people calling in, we just talk about our experiences. It's always fun.
I want to bring up something that happened this week. Of course, this full hour, we're spending it with Greg Bakken from Ghostbox Radio, as well as a pastor on a psychic medium that they are coming out in Danbury, Connecticut. They are going to go see the Annabelle doll. Yee! Okay, so I was down in South Carolina. I did one of their ghost tours, and this is pretty common. They do these things. Here's the problem is that there is also part of these ghost tours, which just they're clearly about local tourism. There's not really that much about you know, really what's going on, because the ghosts that they describe, first of all, are all white. It's like, okay, I don't know if you understand the makeup of the South, but it wasn't just, you know, white people. But of course, there are all these. It's this beautiful girl that lived in this mansion. It's beautiful. And I was just like, okay, you know, if just by the odds of things, wouldn't there be African-American ghosts in some places, at least? You know, outside the one place, it's the ghost of this guy that helped write the Articles of Confederacy. I said, really, you're going to bring that guy in here? Okay, yeah, fine, whatever. But you go on out there, and sometimes it just there's a ghost of a French court jester that lives in that mansion that tries to kill people, okay, by pushing them down the stairs, but then befriends the kids. And I'm like, you know, I understand tourism. You want to bring a few bucks in. You're just doing a little walking tour. What's the deal? But once again, I think it's to a point, it's a bit of an insult to your profession to kind of go on out there. And it's like, okay, then why is the French guy here again? And is he speak English or is he speak French? Because wouldn't he be a French talking dude? You know, none of this makes any sense. But, you know, well, it doesn't stop them, though.
No, well, I mean, the thing is, it seems very similar to what we were talking about last segment, was that, you know, it's all about, you know, you get history from the people you talk to, you know.
Personal preference.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, these are stories that have been passed around for years and years and years. Was there a lot of interaction talking with slaves about their story or not? I don't know. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is like, who did they talk to? What story did they want to tell? You know, our story is one of finding out as much information as we can get. You know, the thing is, too, is that these stories are never about a person who had a happy life and passed away in their bed. You know, they're not those aren't the people that we see at these locations. There's always some tragedy that's attached to them, and that to me is just as bad, because it's like, there are good stories, and what's wrong with talking with a spirit that had a good life? You know, what's wrong with talking with somebody who, you know, or someone who needs help or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. And, you know, you just never know what, you know, you just never know what story you're getting or who's talking to who. Do you have anything you want to? No.
Well, I'll bring this up. I'll bring this up because I brought this up when we came back. And sometimes it's also perspective. Because they were talking about there is a local Native tribe. This is down in Beaufort, South Carolina. The original explorers were there, and they basically double-crossed them. The white Europeans double-crossed. I know, shocker. But the white Europeans double-crossed the local Natives, basically put them into a whole bunch of debt, and then said, here's the deal. You can be our slaves. This is how you'll get out of that. You, your kids, your grandkids can become our indentured servants. And basically, this is how you'll pay off your debt. Now, once again, they knowingly screwed over the Native American tribes. They knowingly built up this debt. They basically robbed them blind and then basically expected them to become slaves. Well, the Native Americans, they weren't too keen on this idea and slaughtered pretty much the entire town. And it was funny because the woman that was doing the tour, she was out there, she goes, oh, these brave men, they let their wives and kids escape as they all succumb to the Native Americans. And I kind of raised my hand and said, I got news for you. I'm on Team Native America at this point. I mean, you guys talk about the great slave. You were trying to turn their entire families into slaves. No. You guys kind of got what you deserved. And it's interesting because that is, 20 years ago, it would all be about the poor white settlers. And the reality is, it's like, you guys need to get your ass kicked. And I'm glad you got your ass kicked because you guys shouldn't have done that. And it brings up, of course, she gave me a very unappealing smirk. It's like, I'm on Team Native America with this one. They were in the right. But it is interesting that the narrative on these stories does change, and for the better, if we actually can get the correct historical context, I think that's important.
Yeah, no. And that's why I like, you know, I go to like places like in Minnesota, I go to Deadwood, you know, South Dakota. There's a lot of great places to investigate where you're getting, you know, sometimes you're getting one half the story, sometimes you're getting the whole story, but also like Pipestone, Minnesota, there is, you know, a great way to get the full picture, you know. And, you know, like you said at the start, I tend not to do the ghost tours a whole lot because, like you said, these are people who are just reading a script in a lot of ways. And so I'm just, you know, I could read Wikipedia. If I do that, I'll go because I want to see the sites. I want to see maybe they give me more access to something than I would if I just walked up to the front door myself.
Well, I have a question for Matt.
Sure. No, sure.
You were on that tour. So
yes.
What did you feel? Did you get any messages? Did you get any feelings?
It was, I'm going to be very honest. It was ungodly hot that night. It was 8 o'clock at night. I think it was 93 degrees and it was just an insane amount of humidity. And of course the person that's doing the walking tour was doing a lot of speed walking on the whole thing. And so I just remember being, okay, I wanted to get done with it. There were two things that did happen on that tour. One, I had my phone die on me as we were at what was one of the oldest houses still standing in the old Beaufort. And of course, when I brought this up, it's like they brought up a mysterious third ghost or, you know, goblin or whatever that that's that person who did that. I'm like, okay, well, why don't you include that on the tour? I mean, I would have been a little more impressed. It's like, oh, there's a person here that basically will zap your phone. Your phone got zapped. There you go. Because there you go. That seems to be interesting. I did also stop by. There was a gravestone in Beaufort ended up being part of the Revolutionary War. And there was a big part down there. And there was a gravestone in Beaufort Cemetery around the big church, from one of those old kind of Gothic style cemeteries that dates from people from back in the 1600s and such. And there was one of a Revolutionary War hero. And I said, you know, I don't see enough of those. And I remember just, it wasn't so much being touched by a spirit, just more being touched by, I'm a veteran myself, Ane. Mm-hmm. So it was just to see that. I was like, you know what? Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the Revolutionary War. We don't see that much out here in the Midwest. And it was kind of a nice reminder. It's like, yeah, there was a lot of people that died, beating the British back then. So I remember that standing out as well.
But did you have like some kind of emotion that you weren't feeling a moment before that?
I was like I said, I was feeling uncomfortable. But I will say this. When I saw that, I didn't feel uncomfortable anymore in the sense being of the heat. I felt I felt pride.
You were around fellow veterans, and they were recognizing your energy.
Well, that's nice.
that's your spiritual and metaphysical and ghostly experience on that tour.
Well, and I will say this: you're exactly right about one thing. Is that if you're a veteran, you understand other veterans, and even the wars change, and the way that we fight these wars, and the way these happen has changed. But you if you understand, you know, that kind of that sacrifice and where those people are, you know, there is a camaraderie that goes with that. And there was a moment where I was like, you know, and I don't do this that often. I saluted the headstone. And, you know, I'm kind of, if you haven't figured out, I'm kind of a cocky jackass. So, I mean, when it comes to, you know, displaying the armaments and stuff like this, I do that when I'm really, I'm overcome with my veteran, you know, the emotion of this. And I have that moment come back to me about the fact that I'm a veteran myself, and I'm very proud that I served the United States in the U.S. Army. And so, yeah, that was one of those moments where I just didn't even hesitate. I gave a big salute to him and said, thank you very much for the service. They just had given him a brand new headstone. And it's quite nice. If you get a chance to go down and see it, you can actually see the soldier down there. He's part of this. And ironically, in the same cemetery, there are two – it's the only two British soldiers their gravestones recognized in the United States from the Revolutionary War. That they were buried there in that same cemetery, and the British government maintains those two gravestones, and so there are two British soldiers buried in that cemetery as well.
Oh, interesting.
Very. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come on back, I want to get into the photos with you, and then we'll talk more about what you guys are doing out there and some of the experiences you're going to have this weekend in Danbury, Connecticut. Greg Bakken, kind enough to join us, also Pastor Anne, a psychic medium, joining us from Danbury, Connecticut, as we celebrate Halloween. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come on back. The Matt McNeil Show, right here on AM 950.
It was a graveyard smash. On in a flag.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Greg Bakken, kind enough to join us, as well as Pastor Anne, of course, psychic medium, joining them out there out in Danbury, Connecticut. They are going to be stopping on by and visiting the Warren House, where the Annabelle doll is there. There's creepy and there's, I mean, it's nothing. I mean, most haunted Halloween things don't scare me. And maybe it's because those movies are so good, is that they, you know, you do feel as if there is a much more of a realism that's conveyed in those movies, as opposed to like a Friday the 13th or a Halloween film. You know, it doesn't come across nearly as much. It's I always think, you know what, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is Jaws, Greg. I mean, because it's because it's a very, very realistic film of a large shark. You know, that's terrifying. Yeah. So those films are great.
My favorite, actually, is the 1979 version TV miniseries Salem's Lot.
The one with David Soul, right?
Yes. I love that. Of course, I've shown somebody, and she absolutely found it to be absolutely laughable, but I'm not going to mention who that was.
No, Greg, I'm backing you up on this. There's a moment, I remember one of the scariest moments I ever had in any movie I've ever saw.
Can I guess what it is?
What is it?
Was it the coffin opening up and the kid jumps up?
No, that's good. Do you remember the scene where the guy finds the guy sleeping with his wife and he scares him off, and all of a sudden as he's running through the woods, all of a sudden the vampire gets him at the very beginning?
There's a hand that just shows up over Fred.
Yeah, exactly.
Face.
Holy God, did that scare? Because I was not expecting that.
I normally consider my parents to be responsible people, but I was, I think, 4 years old when that aired, and I watched it all on original broadcast, and that just, I mean, it's seared into my mind ever since.
Oh, that Salem's Lot. Well, that, first of all, the book is astounding. I mean, it is one of the better horror books you'll ever read. But they did it such good justice in that movie. And David Soul, that's probably the best thing. I mean, I know with Starsky and Hutch and all that stuff, but that was, I think, the best thing he ever did was that series, because that still today, you watch that original Salem's Lot, the TV miniseries, that is as scary as anything you'll ever see put out.
Matt, not everyone agrees with us, so unfortunately, there's some that may not agree with that.
So I'm going to, once again, I've had the opportunity to present you, an expert, with a conundrum of what in the world happened here. So, and I explain this, if you go to my social media pages, at Matt McNeil Show on Twitter and Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook, I have posted two pictures. Now, these are two kind of innocuous pictures I took on September 24th, right down the street from the radio station. It was just a nice day. Of course, we did the calendar. We were looking for nice pictures. So I went out and I decided to try to take some pictures here and see if they might come on out. And I took these two pictures were taken about 10 seconds apart from each other in the same exact location. Now, Greg, you kind of know this a little bit from being at the radio station. There's no sidewalk that runs the AM 950 side of Valley View Road there. It's on the other side of the road. So I'm literally trudging through grass. So there's no pedestrians there. There's no geese, or there's some geese there, but there was no geese there at the time. There's no dogs that are running loose or anything like that. There's Valley View Road behind me, but, you know, obviously that will cast a car shadow or a truck shadow if there was something behind me. I was by myself. There was no one else. I did not have a bag or a satchel or something that I took off my shoulder and put down. It was just me going out with my camera taking a picture. And the first picture you see, it's kind of a upright picture of me in the camera. You see me. You can actually see the shadow of me in the picture taking the photo. All right. And then the second picture is me. I turn the picture sideways. It's a nice photo. I mean, it's not one of my better pictures. And then the shadows, I think, kind of killed it a little bit too much in that. But needless to say, there is a mysterious shadow right next to me in that photo that there was nothing there. There's no sign there. There's no fire hydrant there. There is nothing there. And yet that shadow showed up. I had not moved. I mean, if you look at the two pictures, you can see that I am basically in the same exact spot. It just, I turned the camera. So, question for you. I mean, once again, I know you're not going to be able to say, well, that's the demon Phil. No, I know you're not going to be able to say that. But is there, compared to the other picture, which we fairly easily discredited, that was actually just a reflection of a headlight off of Shady Oak Road, do you think that there might be something more to this photo, or is it just Matt, you're loopy?
There was a demon attached to you, and it was hanging out with you.
Well, that's Patrick. He's my producer. He's a nice guy.
Patrick's only a demon when the Vikings lose.
I've noticed that.
And then comes in Sunday to try to produce a show.
Twins are tanking it in May. You do not want to be around Demon Patrick. I'll say that.
There's a couple factors to take into play here. First of all, it's really tough, right? Because I wasn't there, and I know you, so I'm able to take you at face value, because that's always the first thing. You know, you get people who show stuff all the time, and some are being very authentic about what they feel it is. Others are trying to fool me, and so looking at that, I mean, the best I can give you is I don't know what that is. That's a very interesting photo on that, because why would normally, if we're doing paranormal investigations, we'd tell the investigator take at least three photos in a row. The difference here, of course, you were just taking a picture. You weren't trying to find anything. You took one picture. Some time had passed. 10 seconds had passed. You took another picture. What was that? Do you remember feeling anything at that time, like anything, any weirdness or anything? Or are you just focused on those whatever that was, the straw or whatever that was?
Well, yeah, okay, and I felt it was obviously kind of not the most comfortable walk to get down there. I will say this.
Yeah.
I remember it feeling cool. I will say this. I remember getting down there, and I thought that was just basically the highway, because you know where that's at. I mean, you're coming down, there's a wind that can come off of 494 that hits Valley View that comes down there sometimes. It gets a little windy. So I remember getting cool, and that's kind of why I took the pictures. If you look at my head, where my shadow is of my head on the two pictures, you see that I have not moved an inch. My head shadow is right there on the – there's a little bit of tall grass there. That is in the same spot. And yes, indeed, because I twisted the camera around, it's a little bit of a different angle. But the top of whatever that shadow is should have shown up in the other picture, and it does not. It you can tell where that one would lie too. I just, for the life of me, I can't figure out what in the world that was.
Did you ever lose a dog?
Of course, I've lost a few dogs. I had when I was a dog. I had a dog when I was a little kid, Clipper, a golden retriever. And then, of course, growing up, there were many dogs that I had that, you know, over time, because I'd moved away, passed away. I had a dog named Sky, who is a Sheltie, who was my first dog we had in our family here, who I absolutely adored. He was a great dog, and he passed away a few years back. So, yeah, no, I felt loss on that level.
So the thing is, it's like,
I felt like it's the golden retriever.
On A feels like it's the golden retriever. There was someone there with you, an old friend returned to you.
It does look more of a, I mean, if I was to say if that is a shadow of a dog, it does more look like the shadow of a golden retriever than it does of a Sheltie, that's for sure.
Yeah,
Clipper was a great dog. He's a dog I grew up with as a kid. And, you know, it was one of those that, you know, as a young kid, your true friendship is that pet you had, they were always there, and through, some stressful times, they were always there with you. It was always nice to have a companion. And I never really thought about it. Could it be, Clipper, or could it be another pet? I never really put it out there, but that it does look like a dog, obedient dog sitting there right next to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, it totally does. It totally does. And they never leave us. The ones who passed on before us, they never leave us. They're always with us.
Well, it's also true they were retrievers, so he might be like, okay, you're going to shoot those geese? I'll go in the water and get them. it's what I do.
It could very well be. Like, where's your gun,
What's the holdup here? They're just sitting right there. I'll have to explain to Clipper why you don't eat city birds. Okay, they're a little gamey. They're a little chewier than your standard normal. I think you're right. I don't have any ulterior motive. I'm not trying to sell this. And I actually enjoyed, we had one listener, Greg, who went and did a, crime scene reconstruction of the light on the gravestone.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I think that that's actually quite a bit of fun. But I will say that if I do see something like this where, I'm like, okay, I was there. That there was nothing there to cast that shadow. What cast that shadow? I'm not doing that because I'm looking for sensationalism or celebrity. I'm looking at that like, okay, what was that?
And any paranormal investigator should welcome someone being skeptical and trying to figure out what could be possible causes for, a picture or something that looks like there might be something there, but maybe there isn't. I mean, if we took everything at face value, if I showed a piece of that I thought was evidence and just expected everyone to take it with open arms and believe it and be happy with it, That's not the right way to go. We want to scrutinize. We want to be able to, people aren't like, you're a bunch of weirdos, but be like, okay, you guys are open-minded to maybe it not being paranormal, maybe not being spirit communication, because a lot of times it simply isn't.
Mm-hmm. And Greg's side, the first thing he says is, I don't know what that is. And he says, humility sometimes gives a lot of credibility to your discussion on that argument. But I will say, the more I look at that picture, I think Gane was right. I mean, it looks like a dog just sitting there saying, can I go in the water? It does. Wow, that's amazing. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's take a final break. Come on back. We'll wrap up. We'll find out how people can get in touch with you, find out more about Ghost Box this weekend, and also more about Halloween. Greg Bakken and Pastor Aune is joining us. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break. Wrap up the show. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Greg, I just sent you FYI because of that great insight from Pastor Aune about the cemetery I was at with the Revolutionary War. I sent you the picture of the headstone. that I took out there. So when you get a chance, take a look at that. And Anne, thank you very much. That's very cool of you to kind of give that insight, because you know what? Sometimes I need to stop and remember how cool it was that I was a veteran and that, that I have that connection. And I think that that does sometimes when I go on out there to – when I was at the World War II Memorial and on the Washington Mall, when I go over to Fort Snelling National Cemetery, I mean, it does hit me there. And it is – it's nice to recognize that. So thank you very much for that.
Well, you're welcome.
So, and I want to make sure with you, obviously, you obviously provide a very, you know, a lot of cool services here, a psychic medium, tarot card reader. You do a lot of events and you do a Facebook Live series. Yeah, how can people, if they're interested in getting more information on you and getting some of your services, get in touch with you?
They can go to my website, onae.org. That's onae.org.
All right. And I'll link to all this a little bit later on.
An appointment from there.
Okay. And I'll link to all this on social media a little
bit later
on.
Oh, and my Facebook page.
Okay.
It's
Tarot by an A.
What was that?
Tarot by an A.
Tarot by an A.
T-A-R-O-T by an A.
By an A. Okay. All right. I will make sure I link to both of those out there when we get down there. Greg, this weekend. Okay. So you're in Danbury. You said there's a bit of a convention going on right now?
Yeah, there's a convention that's put on by the Sparrows and their paranormal team. So they're going to, you know, that's going to have both versions of Annabelle, the real and the plus all these other vendors of paranormal investigators, mediums, you know, lots of discussion, lots of talking, just a lot of fun stuff. For us is fun, and I think a lot of people would find it fun too, that, you know, you just talk about all. So yeah, it's going to be a great, great weekend.
And then, of course, you got the show coming up here on Sunday, the 4 o'clock hour on AM 950. And then the replay of the previous week's show, that's going to be at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. You can catch Ghost Box Radio right on AM 950. One final thing here. Will you try to make a run up to Salem?
Boy, I don't even – it's so busy this time of year there.
It is.
It's really busy, too, here.
Yeah. Oh. It's spooky enough in some spots of Danbury, so we're going to stick around, I think, here.
Well, I mean, it does take away a bit from the creepiness factor. If your wait time for every restaurant's an hour and a half. You know, you're hour and a half out of town because you're in Springfield, Massachusetts, because that's the closest hotel you could find. It does kind of take away from it, but enjoy, because let's face it. I mean, Halloween is great here in Minnesota, but it is really kind of fun out there on the East Coast. So I hope you guys have a great time out there.
Thank you very much.
Pastor One, and of course, obviously, Greg Bach and Ghost Box Radio. Guys, thank you very much. Appreciate the time, and travel safe. We'll talk to you before too long, okay?
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, of course, I want to make sure I put out our usual plea here on AM 950, which is be freaking careful on Sunday night, okay? You've got a lot of kids, a lot of really young kids who are excited beyond excited. Think about it. They get to put on a costume, and they get to go to their neighbors' houses, and they get candy. It is, this is, you know, it is everything for them. So they're sometimes not paying attention. Be careful. If you're in a residential neighborhood, drive really, really slow, okay? And also, don't drink and drive. I mean, my God, I know that that's something we might have a problem with tonight, tomorrow night, because a lot of the bars will, to avoid Halloween, will have, and of course, the Vikings game on Sunday night, they'll have their Halloween events tonight and tomorrow night. Don't drink and drive. Be careful. There's always a lot of accidents over the Halloween weekend with that. And be careful. Just be careful out there. Have a wonderful Halloween. I'm ready to go. Full-size candy bars. Check indeed. I'm ready to go with that. I will be back here on Monday from my basement with a lot more Butterfinger in me. That's the way I go. You have a wonderful weekend. Native Roots Radio and I Am Awake. They're up next. Until Monday, see ya.